Afternoon to you. It's a Monday all day, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Glad to have you with us. Hope you had a good weekend and appreciate the mercy of the Lord and appreciate you being on board this afternoon. Our text line, 577-1296, 577-1296. Our voice line, 884-9427, 828-884-WGCR. And both of those put you in touch with us. Now, I can't answer the voice line, and so Brianna has that job. Mr. Shabdu is on the production side of things this afternoon. He's producing the video portion of the broadcast today. And if you, for whatever unknown reason, would like to watch the proceedings this afternoon, you can do that by just going to Facebook, Anchor Broadcasting on Facebook, and Facebook Live. It's called Visual Radio. So, and we actually, and I think I'm right, we actually still, whatever I'm talking about, that's where you'll see the maps. You'll see all those things. So they bring all that up for you. So, yeah, it's kind of the next best thing to sitting behind the console because you get to see a lot of what I see. And of course, I'm sitting here looking at how many cameras is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 and 5's 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I got 17. 17 screens just in the security side of things. And that's not all of them. That's just the ones that they're currently viewing. And then I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 screens in the center here that all have something different but related. And then one big one to the left, and then 1, 2, 3, 4 across the middle, and one here at the iPad. But anyway, you'll get to see the ones that are pertinent at the time, and just log on to or go on to Facebook, Anchor Broadcasting. Okay? All right. Well, let's get started on a beautiful Monday, the 11th day of October, and it is Columbus Day. And so the banks were closed today. And it was a federal holiday. It was not a state holiday, apparently, but it was a federal holiday. And so let's look here today. Well, I'm actually ahead of myself. Let me go over here. There we go. We have got interstate issues this afternoon. It looks like a Friday. It is backed up from the airport, and it's due to construction more than likely, but it is backed up westbound. And you're going to be on the brakes pretty much from the Asheville Airport to 191. So several miles right there. It's off the pace, and it's particularly slow between 280 and 146. It will pick back up by the time you get to the parkway, but then it slows back down there across the river. And so that's on the westbound side this afternoon. Eastbound, it's not quite that bad. Matter of fact, it's not that bad at all. Eastbound is doing pretty well. You'll get into some traffic right there in the exchange around 191. Then it picks back up. You're going to get into heavier traffic between 146 and 280 going east. And so, but it's not real bad this afternoon on the eastbound side. Not real bad on the westbound, but it is all well off the pace. It's slow, that's for sure. Now, what's that done to the secondaries? Well, 25 is fine. 25A, about like normal. 191, yeah, you've got a little some backups. Now, 191 going toward Asheville. It is slow all the way from Avers Creek all the way out past Clayton Road. Yeah, even through Sandy Bottom till you get to the stoplight. It's unusual that you see continuous traffic from the Avers Creek light to the Bent Creek light, but you are today. And so that's just not a good option. The best option is pick up 25. It's moving fine. That would be your best way. 112 is also very busy. My people don't know it by 112. It's Sardis Road that cuts through to Inca, the Inca Village. Yeah, and it's busy today. And yeah, pretty busy. As we pull out, there is a wreck. I-26 eastbound above the city of Asheville, and it does have must be on the side. It does have traffic slowed but moving, So this is right just before you get down to the bridge, or to get into that exchange to get on the bridge. Yeah, and so it's between UNCA and Patton Avenue, okay? So it's right in there, and it's on the eastbound side, and that means it's coming down toward town. Well, you never own these things because the highway doesn't go east and west for the most part. I guess for the most part it does, but for there are places it goes north and backwards and all kinds of ways. Yeah, this anyway, slow right around town there today for a Monday, a little slower than I would have expected. The bridge is off the pace a little bit, but all the rest of it's in good shape. No backups today coming out at Amboy Road or coming out at Bavard Road. That's all looking fine. A little bit slow. I believe that may be the way station that's slowing us a little bit on the westbound I-40. Thinking that may be the case. It does that sometimes. And then I'm looking west into Tennessee. You're fine that way. Looking up I-26 to Tennessee. You're good there. And then all the way to Black Mountain, no issues there. Let's drop down and see. Okay, nothing new. Well, hang on. What do we got here? This is the Green River Gorge. And, this is the Green River Gorge, and we have got real slow traffic. Let me see if I can give you a little better idea of what we've got. If I'm not mistaken, yeah, that's Saluda. So starting at the Saluda exit, we have traffic backed up all the way down by Puzzle Gully, all the way around, actually down to the Green River Bridge. And once you get there, it picks up and you're fine. So from the Saluda exit to the Green River Bridge, the Peter Geist Bridge on the east, that's westbound I-26. Slow right through there. And then northbound on 25, and it's south of town. It's from the Green River Road. They're working on that through there, and from Green River Road all the way up to the Greenville Highway exit there, the northern side of Lake Summit. Yep, the Greenville Highway exit, 225 is the road number. Where 225 pulls off, it is slow all the way up to right there. And so, again, it is traffic. You can go through town. You can get off. And I say town, Tuxedo. It's, you know, what town there is. But you can get off and go around it if you wanted to do that. That would be one way to avoid it. Let's see what else is going on. There's a patch of slow traffic just inside South Carolina. It's I-26 eastbound. It is between Highway 14, which is there at Landrum, and that road, I don't think that's an exchange right there, actually. So it's that stretch right beyond. So if you're going to South Carolina, it's just past 14. Yeah, before you get to the way station and Blue Ridge Cabins and all that. Yeah. All right, so that's what we know about that. 85 has got a real slow place this afternoon in Spartanburg. This is on what I call the bypass. If you're coming out around Spartanburg, going south, it's actually due west right through there, but going south, it is slow in there around Davis Road all the way over to Valley Falls Road, right in behind the University of South Carolina, right in behind the school there. And I don't know why it's so slow, but it is. No indication of construction. So like I said, it's a little unusual for a Monday. Today, 85 south in Greenville is backed up all the way to the BMW plant. And it is slow down past 385. Mercy. And we're off the pace a little bit on south of that, down around the Motor Mile, down around 291. Still off the pace in those sections. And there is a wreck, I-85 southbound, just south of Highway 276. It's the only one I see this afternoon, but there is a wreck there, okay? So that's what I can tell you about your commute home. And, again, we're glad to have you with us. A little little unusual for a Monday. Yeah, a little more traffic than I would have expected. We are currently 73 degrees in Greer at the Greenville-Spartanburg Jetport. We're 68 here at the studio. And at the time of the reading, 4:54 this afternoon, they were at 73 at Asheville. Yeah, Asheville had 73, and GSP had 73. You don't see that much. No, those two, even though they're not very far away, there's a difference in altitude. And so you rarely see those with the same temperature, but they are today. As a matter of fact, a little surprising. We have probably as warm a temperatures here in the mountains as they do in the upstates. Matter of fact, maybe a little warmer in a couple of places. You don't see that too often. So, yeah, that's a little bit on the unusual side. Well, I tell you, have you enjoyed day three of this series of beautiful days? I've seen a lot of people cutting hay, a lot of people cutting it even though it wasn't quite ready to cut. They're still cutting it. And boy, is the ground wet. It's still wet, yeah. And making a mud hole is what it's doing. I'm looking ahead just to see, not until Saturday. So can you believe that we're going to get 7 days of 7 days without rain? So, all right, it's a 30% chance coming back in on Saturday. But outside of that, it's not bad. No rainouts even through the first of next week. Just that 30% chance Saturday and Saturday night, and then mostly sunny and nice. But here's something you will notice, okay? So we're crossing the hump this week as far as there'll be less of October than there has been, and you're going to pick it up in your temperatures. You won't see it until, I guess, your first day is going to be Sunday. Yeah, the high on Sunday is only going to be 66. And then checking that low temperature, 43. And then 66 on Monday. And it's time. Did you know that in the olden days, I mean, as much as the olden days, back in the day, as they say, it was not uncommon to have a frost, a killing frost, for Columbus Day. That was not at all uncommon. Matter of fact, that'd be my grandpa's guess. It would be right around that. It'd be between the 12th and the 15th. Now I'll go one step further. Just 25 years ago, or around that, we would crank the boiler on the 15th of October. And this building has steam heat, and we would crank the boiler on the 15th of October. We'd cut it off on the 15th of May. That was routine, 15th of October to the 15th of May, and it would run, during those times. But haven't had to. As a matter of fact, we probably late October or early November before you'd need to crank it. And then usually now we're cutting it off by Easter, when we cut the whole thing off. Yeah. So I meant to mention this under traffic. So let me back up a second. There's going to be parts of I-26 eastbound closed. It's tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday night. And, they're closing it from Long Shoal, which is exit 37, to US 25 Business, which is 44. Now, that will take folks, if they're going to do that, Long Shoals, where they're going to bring people up through Skyland, and then they'll take them down through Fletcher and put them back out on the interstate. Yeah, and so they changed the traffic lights to do that, to handle the traffic. And so, what they're doing is they're going to be connecting concrete sections near the Glen Bridge Road in Buncombe County and in Henderson County, and they're hauling and paving. So This is all scheduled for tonight, tomorrow night, and the next night, okay, for these bridges. And so, then some of the higher elevations have already had frost. Yeah, they already have. But for us here, in the valley, it used to be, but not so much anymore. We don't not as much. Let me see if I can. Samuel, come here and see if you can get that thing to go back to the text line. I've got it mad and I can't get it to quit. All right, and I can't look at it with enough intensity to fix it, okay? Can you get it to go back to the text line? Whatever you need to do, turn it off, turn it on. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Let's see who is with us this afternoon and do a quick roll call and see who's around. We'll do it by state. So we'll start out with the C's, Englewood and Avon, Colorado, Miami, Florida, and a couple of places, Augusta, Georgia, Lexington, Kentucky, Cambridge, Massachusetts, Plymouth, Minnesota, Picayune, Mississippi, Joplin, Missouri, Nassau, New York, Asheville, Lenore, Arden, Silva, Marion, Brevard, Hendersonville, and my soul, how many Brevards we got with us. Good gracious. And Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, Greenville, South Carolina, Fort Mill, Greer, also Lancaster, Houston, Texas, and about several places. And we have the United Kingdom with us this afternoon. We also have somebody on the continent of Europe, but we're not sure who it is. Thank you. And Madison, Wisconsin, rounding out the knowns this afternoon. Thank you for being with us. And then visual. We appreciate Belinda with us this afternoon. Gary, thank you. And okay, so they did start on the Peter Geis Bridge today. It's a 3-year project. Yeah, it's going to be like that for a long time, isn't it? And Miss Cricket's with us today. Miss Ann, thank you. And all the way from Legazpi City, Philippines. Glad to have Annie with us today. My understanding is, okay, now I don't know for sure, but this is what I was told, that they're going to have to build another bridge between the two bridges, and they're going to divert traffic across the middle bridge while they work on one side, and then they're going to switch it, and they're going to divert traffic across the other bridge while they work on the other side. They're going to take it off one, put it on, and so depends on, you know, what phase of the project is which, you know, which section will be using the new part. It was going to cost so much to do that project, they actually considered totally abandoning that whole, the whole bridge, and put a brand new structure across to go from the top of the hill to the top of the hill. They looked at it, but it would just be cost prohibitive. And so, bottom line, there was just no good way to do it. And so, as a result, they are going to fix what we got. So, yeah. It's what they're telling me, anyway. Yeah, the laydown yard is there to Saluda exit, up in behind the triangle stop. They put in a big old laydown yard there, and that's where they'll be working at. Boone is reporting, 1714 says, live up in Boone, had two hard frosts, the 23rd and the 24th of September. Already, what about that? Wouldn't be surprised if Balsam Grove has had the same thing. And so, so what's going on? Brevard is playing Chase tonight at Chase. And that's probably why there's so much traffic. Okay, everybody's going to the game. All right, maybe that's what it is. Maybe that would explain it. All right. Well, several things I want to share with you. Let me first of all just thank, we had some folks drop by over the weekend and give a very generous donation. And not sure that I'm at liberty to tell about it, but I just want to say thank you. And we're in receipt of it, and we appreciate that a great deal. That was sacrificial, and sake to God be the glory. Thank you so much. Also, we want to say thank you to Darren and Jennifer from Cullowhee, a $40 gift toward Venezuela. Thank you so much. God bless you. And that turns into a lot of money for those folks. When you figure that they are making around $3 a month, okay? That's what the average Venezuelan is making, around $3 a month. $40 goes a long way. And so appreciate that very, very much. God bless you. And yes, we are sending to, we stopped for a time. We run out of money. But I couldn't get it out of my heart, couldn't get it out of my system, just couldn't. And so we are continuing to send money down to through the pastors, to the churches. We're trying to get a food bank started that pastors can come and get food for their congregations. And we're paying premium prices for stuff. You just can't believe what we're paying. Well, especially considering, you know, like a kilo of rice, which is like 2.2 pounds of rice, is a buck, is a dollar, a U.S. dollar, which is over four of theirs. When you, you're looking at meal, same thing. It's about a dollar for 2.2 pounds of meal. And then it is, if you want red beans, which is their favorite, they are high in protein. And so protein's a big issue because they can't afford meat. So to get beans, it's going to cost you $3, and you get less than 4.5 pounds of beans for $3. Now, I remind you that the average wage for a month is $3. So in other words, you can work for an entire month and be able to buy 4.5 pounds of beans. And I'm serious. The first day of October, they erased 6 digits off of the currency. That's actually helped the value. As far as the, you know, when you take into account, you extrapolate, you can take the zeros out of it. It's actually, their money has actually picked up. It has actually increased in value a little bit. Before the drop, you know, the reevaluation, it was about 4.5 million of their dollars to one of ours. Today, it would be, if we were still in millions, it would be 4,090,000 of their dollars to one of ours. But they dropped the zeros, so it's 4.09. So 4.09 Bolivar. And I don't know what they're calling it. I'm going to call it Nuevi because I don't know what it is. It's the new Bolivar, I assume. Okay, so the new Bolivar. And so they've actually done a little better. It's actually helped reset it at least temporarily. The day of October 1st, it went to 5.11 at one point. And then it has eased back. And so they've actually done a little better. But they're still in a mess. Oh, they're still in a mess. My goodness. If you want to see what socialism looks like, just look at Venezuela. They are the richest country as far as hydrocarbon reserves, oil, gas. They have more of that than any other country. They're the richest in the world. But the government owns it. And because of that, the people are hungry. The government owns it. The government owns everything. And about everybody works for the government. So the government came in and took over everything, took over all the private businesses, took away the oil fields, took over the refineries. Anybody who had anything else, they brought that. And, I mean, they took it away from them, took away their businesses, you know. And then you have to work for the government. Yeah. That's how it works. And so that's how socialism works. The government owns everything, and then you work for them. And there's some people think that is just a really, really fine idea. The problem is it's never worked anywhere else, and it's not going to work here. But there's apparently 38% of the population that believe it will, because 38% of the population believe that everything's going the way it ought to. It's really good. But extrapolate that number. 62%. think it's going the wrong way. Donald Trump never had those numbers. I'm not sure that Barack Obama ever had those numbers. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure he didn't. I don't even think that George W. Bush had those numbers, even with the crisis, this 07-08 crisis. I don't think he had numbers that low. Yeah, we have one of the most unpopular men in the White House in a long time. Well, even Bill Clinton, even when he was being impeached, his numbers stayed above that. Probably the reason that he stayed in office, because his numbers were higher than that. So we'd probably have to go back to the days of probably Richard Nixon or Jimmy Carter, probably Jimmy Carter, to find probably to be the next closest one that unpopular, especially this early in, you know, especially this early in. And so 5371 said people know he's an illegal fraud. Well, you know, it's interesting that there's still evidence that's being turned up of all kind of things that happened. But you don't hear the mainstream media covering it. I think that's interesting that they won't cover it. There's something else the mainstream media missed. And I don't know why, but I don't guess they want us to know. But I have been a proponent of taking aspirin ever since my doctor told me. I went to the doctor after having COVID, and she said to me, "You're on an aspirin, right?" And I said, "No, ma'am." And she said, "What?" I said, no, my surgeon took me off of aspirin when I had surgery, and I'm not on any NSAID or anything like that. And she said, "I don't care what he said, you get on an aspirin right now." And sure enough, it is now being reported that there's more than one study that has confirmed aspirin is a very good prophylactic when it comes to COVID and the severity of COVID. But here's the thing that bugs me. This story is in the Jerusalem Post. Why has it not been front page headlines across America? Probably the same way the reason the masks were, because they're afraid he would make a run on the masks. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather have a run on aspirin or a run on ventilators? Because aspirin will keep you off a ventilator. The Jerusalem Post, October 6th, aspirin lowers risk of COVID. New findings support preliminary Israeli trial. This treatment reduced the risk of reaching mechanical ventilation by 44%. ICU admissions were lower by 43%. And an overall in-hospital mortality saw a 47% decrease. And, So, over-the-counter aspirin could protect the lungs of COVID patients and minimize the need for mechanical ventilation. More than 400 COVID patients from hospitals across the United States who take aspirin unrelated to their COVID disease and found that the treatment reduced the risk of several parameters by almost half, reaching mechanical ventilation 44%, ICU 43%, overall in-hospital mortality 47%. And they're saying connection between blood clots and COVID. Said we knew that aspirin used to prevent stroke and heart attack could be important for COVID patients. And now they have found an association between low-dose aspirin and decreased severity of COVID-19 and death. Low-dose aspirin is a common treatment for anyone suffering from blood clotting issues or in danger of stroke, including most people who have had a heart attack or myocardial infarction. Although affecting the respiratory system, the coronavirus has been associated with small blood vessels clotting, causing tiny blockages in the pulmonary blood system, leading to ARDS, which is acute respiratory distress syndrome. And Israeli researchers at the Barzilia Medical Center found that aspirin carried immunological benefits, and that the group that was taking 29% less likely to become infected with the virus in the first place. Now back up, let's read that again. Israeli researchers in a trial at the Barzilia Medical Center in March found that in addition to aspirin's effect on blood clots, they found that aspirin carried immunological benefits, and that the group that it was, or the group taking it, was 29% less likely to become infected with the virus in the first place. How come that they didn't? What's going on? Why is that not the lead story? I can tell you why it's not the lead story. Because the next line in the story says aspirin is low cost, easily accessible, and millions are already using it to treat their health conditions. Yeah, that's exactly why. It's about the money. It's about the money. And why did we have to have, why did it have to come out of Jerusalem? I mean, why did Israel have to, I'm a pretty trusting person. I'm not paranoid. I'm not a big theorist, you know, conspiracy theorist person. No, I never have been. Well, I'm not going to say that. I maybe once was, but I'm very serious. It doesn't, I don't fear those things. But I'm just going to tell you, the more that comes out, the more you wonder why are we not preventing COVID in a different manner than doing what we're doing. And by the way, just mention this. I've got some goats that need worming. Would you quit buying up all the ivermectin, buying cases of it? Lord help us. A case of ivermectin will worm a whole herd of cattle. You don't need a case, okay? And you don't need to be taking that anyway. Yeah, I'm surprised not seeing people with purple teeth, because they make one that's purple, and it's so that you can actually put it on them. You don't have to. Of course, goats are a little different. Yeah, goats worm just a little differently than others. But you can worm sheep. Some of the other animals that you can worm them just by pouring it on their back. Yeah, it will soak into their, you know, soak through their skin. But anyway.
Everybody's asking me about this. It's in Jerusalem Post, and it was October the 6th. Jerusalem Post, October the 6th. That's where I got it. And, I was going to send it to you, but there you go. So, Jerusalem Post, October the 6th. I'm aggravated. I'm highly aggravated that we are, you know, there are some common sense things, and yet we're told, you know, and there's things when somebody gets sick, there's things you can give them. But they tell you know what they'll tell you? If you get COVID and they tell you to go to the hospital, you know, everybody says, well, you need to go to the emergency room. If you go to the emergency room and your oxygen levels are where they need to be, you know what you'll go home with? You'll go home with advice to go home and take Tylenol. for the aches. As long as your oxygen's up, that's what you'll go home with. You'll go home with the advice to take Tylenol. And there's just a whole lot of other things you could be doing if you've got it. Number one, you need to be taking aspirin. Vitamin D3, extremely important. You need to be sitting out in the sunshine. When you're convalescing, you need to be moving. Say, I don't feel like moving. You need to be moving, okay? You got to. You got to move. You just do. And then you need to be, yeah, there's a lot of other things you can do. But I'm just talking about, and of course, vitamin E is a natural blood thinner. And so fish oil, vitamin E, those things, that's a natural way to make your platelets not so sticky. So, yeah. I've had people asking me about Brother Reggie, and I have not got an update on Reg. He's in the hospital, but I haven't got an update. I don't know. We've been talking about ivermectin, Z-Pak, prednisone, a butyrol inhaler. We've been talking about those things, but you can't get by to give it to you. So, you know, that's everywhere else. Let me tell you something else. Now, and again, when I'm talking about these things, this is just a talk show, okay? They call me Dr. Barton, but that's because years ago I got some honorary degrees. But those places, that's not even a factor. It had nothing to do with medicine, I'll assure you that, okay? Well, here's what I'm talking about. Okay, this is in the third world. This is what they're doing. They're taking a nebulizer. And they're taking food-grade hydrogen peroxide, and they're doing breathing treatments with hydrogen peroxide, and they are treating the pneumonias topically. The hydrogen peroxide actually on the cells that are infected. And they laughed Donald Trump to scorn a year ago in May, when they were talking about disinfectants, and he said, could you put that in the body? And when he asked that, the whole crowd just started dying laughing. They didn't know their history as well as Donald Trump did. You see, in World War I, when people would get sepsis, when they would get an infection, it went to their bloodstream. We did not have the antibiotics and things that we have today. And so on many a battlefield, they resorted to using hydrogen peroxide in an intravenous drip and saved many a man's life from gangrene and a variety of other things. Oh, yeah. Can you do that? They did. They're still doing it in the third world. Cost you about $75 altogether. Get a nebulizer and medical grade, food grade hydrogen peroxide. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just telling you that's what they are doing. And that's all they got. That's all they got to do anything with. And it's working. It's working. Okay? It's working in places. All right. So, that got people with purple streaks down their back. That's what happens when you get your wife to worm you. That'll do it every time. Yeah. Well, here's what I run into. I couldn't find anything. We had to go with some food, so I went with a medical food that you just put in with their feed every few weeks. Now, I couldn't get anything to see. I got a little dough. We brought in a week ago today to go with our little buck, and of course, you first thing you do when you bring them on site, you worm them. Couldn't get no, there's no worm medicine. And talked to a guy at Tractor Supply. He said, "Look, if you're here when a truck comes in," he said, "but you'll have to fight people for it." He said, "they'll get the whole case. They'll take every bit of it off the shelf, run out here with it." So you can't get it to worm horses, cows, nothing with. And he said, He said, they said, do you have any ivermectin? He said, yeah, how much does your cow weigh? And I said, I ain't got a cow. And they reached out the whole case. And I've been talking to different nurses and different people in ERs and stuff. There have been people hospitalized from ivermectin, but it's because they're overdosing on it. It's by weight. And you don't take but just a little bit. It don't take much. And even then, yeah, I know it. I know it. It's kind of funny, but yeah, I know it. Well, we there's different things, but like I say, that whole genre of medicine has been wiped out by people taking it. Yeah, by people taking it. So yeah, I know. Well, thank you again. Appreciate that. And I think Brianna's got some she's going to share with me. But like I said, I got some chow, some goat chow. It's got it in it. And you can give that to them a little along. And yeah. Anyway, well, we are very grateful for you being with us this afternoon. I have not got an update on Reggie, so I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I don't know at all. So, and then I've got a nurse weighing in and yeah, I didn't go into dosing at all, but yeah, it's a very minute, and it's diluted. It's a very diluted, minute thing of hydrogen peroxide as it goes into the lungs, because you can damage the lungs. It has, it can have the wrong effect. In other words, it can kill the stem cell layer. And so, if you do that, it'll never grow back. You'll never recover. So yeah, don't do that. Yeah. Yeah. When you're talking about ivermectin dosings, yeah, it's like half a milligram. It's tiny for people who have COVID. So it's not much. We've got. Well, I agree. We got a lot of politicians with yellow streaks. Now they're probably going to have much purple streaks. That's what it's looking like. Well, you might as well laugh. Oh, goodness. You don't get too much to laugh about anymore. And so it's kind of funny. Get all these. Yeah, you got one party with yellow streaks and the other party with purple streaks. And so we know who's the bees or know who's who, wouldn't it? Yeah. So, people laugh, but I'm going to tell you something. When we go to the third world, one of the first things we do when we go to the third world with medical clinics, if you've got somebody in poor health, you worm them. I'm just telling you, it's one of the best things you can do for them. And ivermectin is commonly prescribed. It's cheap, and you worm them. Because many times they're suffering from parasites or the effects of parasites. And so, oh yeah, it's one of the best things you can do for their overall health. And the other side of it is, if they're not wormy, it won't hurt them. Y'all don't remember getting wormed? Have mercy. Oh, they used to worm us. Oh yeah. Of course, we run around barefoot in the farmyard and everything else, you know, all the time. And so, I guess we contracted a lot of them, but they used to worm us. Of course, I don't know that it was even necessary, because, honey, when you take black droth and some of that other stuff, I'm pretty sure that stuff killed worms and everything else that was ever growing inside of you. Good gracious alive. Yeah, some of the stuff they used to give us. Did you know they used to, did you know that the time was they'd give you kerosene internally? Oh, yes. Yeah, you doctored with kerosene. They'd pour it on a stump toe. Yeah, but they'd give it to you. Yeah, they'd give it to you internally, mix it. They used to mix it with a little whiskey. And what was the prescription? I don't even remember what it was for now. A teaspoon of kerosene and a teaspoon of white liquor and was it rock candy? I don't remember. I don't even remember what it was for. But yeah, yeah, they used to doctor with it. Same thing with pneumonia salve. They'd rub it on your chest, then grandma would take a big swipe with her finger and stick it in your mouth, stick it on your jaw. That probably wasn't the smartest thing either, but I guess things were purer back then, you know? Yeah. I think they were better refined. I don't know. I wouldn't even consider that, you know? Yeah, I got several people, they declaring they are not wormy. Okay, thank you. I'm glad you're not wormy either. That's good. Let me give you a statistic that you won't like. Okay? This is kind of shocking. Do you know the average age of a ventilated patient in the state of Arkansas? What would you guess? Right now, I'm talking about right now. What would you guess? What would you guess the age of the average age of the person on ventilators in the state of Arkansas are right now? Anybody want to venture out? 33. 33 years old. Yeah, I am not prescribing hydrogen peroxide to breathe, okay? No. I'm not. But I'm just telling you that they are using it. And under doctor supervision, they are using it in the third world. And apparently effectively. Yeah. No, it's not. It's dropped 33 years of age in the state of Arkansas. Castor oil. Yeah. But OK Bryson told me, he said, yeah, that mama used to give us castor oil for the cough. I said, we've had it for everything else, but I never had it for the cough. I said, why don't you give it to you for the cough? He said, she give you castor oil, you was afraid to cough. And so it works one way or the other, I'll tell you. So anyway, thank you for being with us this afternoon. Thank the Lord for his mercy, and appreciate you taking time out of your day to be with us. We got a lot of people that have joined on board, Fresno and Los Angeles. Yeah, a lot of folks have joined in. Lexington, let me just run down the list here and see who I can see that have just picked up and joined us. A lot of folks West Coast. Of course, they pick us up in the middle of the afternoon out there. Still got an unbelievable amount of people from Brevard on. I don't get that. Richardson, Texas. Good to see y'all. And who else? More UK. I got more people from the United Kingdom on with us this afternoon. Clarksville, Virginia has joined us. Okay, so glad to have all you folks with us. All right, we get together around 5:15 Eastern each afternoon. And if you were to miss it, not that anything that we say is worth repeating, but if you were to miss it, usually they will post it right after I get done. And if you've got the app, you can take your phone and you go on to, let me do it so I can tell you how to do it. You go on to our app, you open the app, and then at the top, with the little drawers up at the very top, if you touch those or you swipe it to the right, either one, and if you'll go down through there, the third thing, it'll say drive time. And when you touch that button, it's going to give you a list of the most recent drive times that are available. The 4th, the 5th, the 6th, the 7th, and the 8th. So that's last week. And so you can go back, and they will post, today's will post shortly. And so if you didn't get the beginning or whatever, you can go back and catch that. That's how you do it. They're all backed up. And you can go back, I guess you just go back 1 week. And so I think one replaces the other. But there's a whole bunch of other features on there. If you want to catch morning devotions or the pulpit hour or swap shop or whatever, you can do that by touching that little drawer bar up at the very top up there in the yellow and come down through there. And there's a whole list of things you can do from the app without ever going into any of the app, any of the channels. You just go in and touch up there and use that, okay? So, all right. All right, well, we I know. It's terrible. It's terrible. And I'm... anyway, I gotta go. Okay. I got to go before I get in more trouble. We do have some serious things to talk about, if I can ever get the grin off my face. We've got several people that are sick with COVID, and then we got others that are sick with other things. And so remember them, if you will. And then families that are bereaved, obviously, let's remember those. Remember Venezuela. My, what a mess. Oh, what a mess. Also remember the Philippines. They're going back into lockdowns again. Oh, yeah, it's not good. And so they have Lambda. You haven't heard of that one. Lambda. It's the part of the Greek alphabet. We have Delta. We're still dealing with Delta. That's Indian, from India. Lambda is a Filipino variant, and that's what they have over there. The next one on the horizon is Mu. And depends on who's saying it. The fraternities call it Mu, obviously. But it's Mu, I think, is the correct way to say it. But the letter of the Greek alphabet. There's more. The World Health Organization has identified all these different ones. Mu is Colombian, from Colombia. Yeah. So, yep. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you for considering the... we've had a lot of people have been helping us with our mission store. We have started carrying furniture, and primarily furniture, and we do some household stuff, but primarily, you know, nice furniture. And folks have been donating for the purpose for us to resell that. So we've basically taken part of the grocery store, because you can't get groceries. And so we've turned it into a thrift store. And if someone would like to donate, you know, a whole house full of furniture, we'll come and pick it up. Okay. We do not have the manpower to come pick up individual items. I wished we did, but we don't. And we don't have the trucks nor the people to be able to do that. But, and if you have a realtor or someone who's wanting to move out everything. And I just mentioned this. There is a, when we have it, there is a stock sheet of what the IRS considers things to be worth. And we can make that available to you. We can't price anything for you. We just have to receipt what it was. But many people are finding that they can get a better result by donating the contents of a house during an estate or something than they can selling it. That they get a better return on their money by itemizing everything and donating it and then taking it on their taxes than they do selling it in a yard sale. So just saying, okay? All right. Remind you, be buying up some things. Remind you. Food, medicine. Get you some stuff bought up. Don't go into the winter months empty-handed. Don't go into the winter months with the shelves empty. Don't do that. Buy the things you like. Buy the things you normally eat. Yeah. Do that if you will. And then let me just quickly close with this. To God be the glory, praise report. Miss Janet Sexton got to come home. And Miss Janet Sexton had a liver transplant a month ago, and she is home by the grace of God. Now, she's still, you know, obviously her immune system's asleep, and so she's still a long way from being able to, you know, be in public. But to God be the glory, she has been like the poster child for a liver transplant at Duke University. She has hit all the marks. Of course, she was a retired nurse herself, and so she's well aware of all the things necessary. But she's just done tremendous, and you help her to pray that she can gain some weight back and can get her nutrition intact, and that the Lord will continue to touch her body. And we're not allowed to know much, but we got a good word that the donor is doing fine. And so we're very grateful to that anonymous donor. And so bless the Lord, okay? Bless the Lord. Glad for that. Okay. Thank you so very much. Thank God again for His mercy, and appreciate you being here with us this afternoon. Let's seek the Lord together. Our Father, we want to say thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for all the ways you've helped us and all the ways you've blessed us. And Lord, while our country is going down the wrong road, and Lord, we are in a mess, Lord, we still don't know of a better place to move to. Lord, you've blessed this country. And Lord, you've blessed the efforts of previous administrations that have carried us through. And Lord, we thank you for that. We're praying about the backlog of food and products. We're praying about all the things logistically that have just absolutely tore our whole system apart. We're praying for the morale of all of our law enforcement, of all of our paramedics, our firefighters, our EMTs. Lord, all of those in public service, Lord, it seems that morale is at an all-time low. We pray for them, that you'd help them. We're praying and asking God, Lord, that we would be so careful. Lord, may we be balanced as Christians. And Lord, may we have take a good position and a right position. But Lord, may we, what's even more important, or at least as important, Lord, may we have the right disposition so that we don't sour the lost and dying world by our attitudes. Help us, Lord, to be found faithful. Your will be done in our lives, we pray in Christ's name. Touch Brother Reggie. Raise him up, if it be your will. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you so much for being on board. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Till we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you, is our prayer.